Thanks, worship team. Appreciate that. Welcome, everyone. It's good to be together again. I am happy that the train wreck inside my head is subsiding. I had 3 wisdom teeth pulled out this week, and I thought it wouldn't be much. And hey, I don't recommend it. And I was taking some ibuprofen or something, whatever they told me, and they're a little bit sticky in the bottle, but I took a cup, whatever, and I'll make a long story short, they weren't working so good. So then I found the new bottle, and then I looked at the dates on the new bottle, and they were 2019. So the old bottle was, I think, 2010. So they don't work that good. I just put that out there. Read the labels, it's important. But every member of the body has an important part to play. And when one suffers, the rest suffer. When you take out wisdom teeth, I hope the wisdom stays, but it literally feels like a train wreck inside your head. I think I was in a car accident, Russell, and I'm just recovering. So I put that out there just in case what I say today doesn't make any sense. And I'm on ibuprofen from 2019. So it might either get stronger or maybe it doesn't work. I don't know. Please turn in your Bibles. I don't know where you want to turn, but 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27 in there. I'm going to be referring to it, but this morning we've been going through David Campbell's foundations just kind of over the summer, just touching on some of the big subjects. And mine today is the church. And I love speaking about the church. It's always been I'm a church man. I'm a church fanatic. Believe in the local church. And I love some of his comments out of his books. I'm going to start with them, and then we're going to just talk about what it means. What does the church mean? But last week was Drew's wedding, Drew and Bethany, and we had an amazing time over the last weekend, and just all the guests from Manitoba. We even accepted a few people from Manitoba to come, and Eric sharing. It was an amazing morning. But just that picture of a bride and groom. If you think of the church as a bride, you know, the bride has made herself ready for the marriage supper of the Lamb. And just that picture, Ephesians talks about the church being this, comparing the, you know, the bride and groom. But I present a mystery that I'm talking about. Jesus and his church, and the picture of a beautiful wedding day where everybody's been prepared and the bride is prepared and made herself beautiful, and the groom is this as best as he can be. You know, you take that times 10 million and you have this picture of Christ and his church. And we are his church. We are his church together, but you as an individual are that bride as well. And the bride has made herself ready. That picture just keeps going over and over in my head, and how important that day is, and how they look forward to it, and they stress about it, and they work for it, and they prepare for it. And you have this amazing wedding. And that's the picture of the bride of the church, of you and I today. Are you ready? Are you preparing yourself? Are you excited about the bridegroom coming one day and receiving his bride? And us being that prepared church for Jesus. So that's kind of the theme this morning. So Father, I pray that you would just bless your word. I pray that there would be a joy in our heart to be your bride, to be your church, to be your living example here on earth that you have left here for a time and that you're coming back for. And I pray, Father, that we would prepare ourselves. Holy Spirit, come and speak to us. Speak through your word and speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So let me read a couple of his opening lines. I've been saying these things all my life, but it's like I've always said, Russell, then we have a special guest, they'll come and they'll say this, yeah, it's a revelation. It's like, no, but I've been saying that for 10 years. Why didn't you listen? So before David can come and you'll say, oh, that's amazing. Let me just read his verse and you'll hear it from me today. The local church is the visible face of Christianity everywhere in the world. When the Bible speaks of the church, it means the local church, not the mystical, invisible, universal church. The visible body of Christ in any given location. So when we talk about the church, we're talking about the seen church, the local church that we are part of, wherever that is. We are a church, part of the church. Amen? But we're talking about the local church. So he says, the body of Christ in any given location. To walk away from the local church is to leave the church. Not this one, but to leave a local body is to leave the church. He says it's sin. The church is God's indispensable instrument through which Jesus meets an unsaved world. Christ gave the church the keys to the kingdom, and it's only through the church people enter into the kingdom. The way we put it many times is more important what you're saved into than what you're saved out of. Amen? I think one thing, you know, when I have this picture of the bride and how amazing a wedding is and that whole picture of the bride and groom and what I shared earlier, it's amazing to me when I see people take the church so lightly or so little value in their life. And again, I'm talking about not this church, I'm talking about the church. But this church, because as I said, when you talk about church, you're talking about the local church. So, but in my life, I've seen the value of the body, the value of the church being together, the value of celebrating, mourning, praying, encouraging, all the things that we talk about over our lifetime, about what the church means. When I see people avoid it or walk away from it or despise it, God, you say, man, God, help us. Help us to be able to show how valuable the church is, how precious being together is by how we live it out with one another. And again, a wedding is a perfect example of it. Sorry for having that metaphor going in my head, but it's like when you see the beauty of it, you see how special it is when you come together and you can celebrate somebody's marriage, and a young man and a young woman have kept themselves, and they're preparing themselves for this day, and they come together, and the whole church gathers around, and family gathers around, and community gathers around. It's like, wow. And I've done weddings, even in these last few months, where nobody could come, and I'm not sure where the couple was at, and they, you know, you do your duty, and you do your legal signing of the papers, and you're just like, oh man, if you, what, that's not a real wedding. And not despising any weddings that have gone out, on out there, but it's like, man, when the community comes together, when the family comes together, or if you've ever done a funeral, maybe you haven't, or been to one, where nobody shows up. It's kind of a legal, organized situation, and you do the duty. You, trust me, there's times in your life when you want a community, when you want a church with you, when you want people to celebrate. You have a baby and you go through 3,000 hours of labor and there's nobody to celebrate that. You want to have a community around you. And I'm going to get to it in a moment, but just talking about commitment to one another in the community and so on, waxing eloquent out of Acts chapter 2. But man, when I think of what this church does as far as food trains, and it seems like they never end, and it's okay. My wife can make tacos every week. It's okay. That's our go-to. But think about what that does for people's lives. And just today, it was actually yesterday, dropping off food, we get the text back, what it means to a new mother who's just trying to hold on to maybe two or three kids with a new baby, and for 2 weeks at least, people are bringing food and meeting with them and encouraging them. That's a church. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. So don't quit. Don't quit. Keep feeding those babies and keep having those babies. That's good. The only people we say to slow down having babies is all the worship team, because all our worship leaders keep having kids and then we wrestle and struggle. I put that in for Herman. Herman and Yolani are away on a week's holiday as well, and Brad and Jen. They all wrote this morning and said, send their love. So they bring their greetings. But I want you to hear how beautiful the local church is, how important it is, how much it's part of our life and is our life, and how special that is, and how privileged we are to be part of a church, part of being together. This is, again, coming back to my friend Dave, so you can say, this is amazing. There seems to be upheaval in churches, people leaving and coming and going. There are many ideas about church and what it should be, yet often these ideas seem anything but rooted in biblical truth. We often point back to the first century church, but the problems were the same. If you read John's writings in Revelation, seven churches represented God's churches. They represent God's churches in every age. Three were treading water, two were in serious trouble, two were commended for their faithfulness. That's probably a fair ratio of where the local church is at any given time. So it's not like, wow, they did it perfect back then and we're failing. It's there's the real, where we live, and it's sometimes real is, and there's the ideal. And there's that which we're aiming for. And when we went to MFI conference, you know, guys are waxing eloquent. We are content. Thank God for what we have, but we are contending. We are fighting for more. There's more. So we have the real. Sorry, this we are it. This is the real. And then there's the ideal, what God wants us to be. And I thank God that as we walk in the Spirit and as we walk with one another, we get closer to that ideal. We get closer to those places where God's people have a sense of community, have a sense of being together, a sense of being a family. And so, what does the church look like? What's the Bible say about the church? Yeah. One more line from David is this. The church is the only instrument God chose for the extension of his kingdom. So the stakes have never been higher to get it right. To get it right. And I know down through the ages, the church has failed and the church is weak and the church has troubles. And I could talk to you all morning about the wrestle and pain of, you know, I've often said it, the gospel is good news until you join a church. And God help us that it continues to be good news, that we can continue to walk in that grace and continue to walk. You know, I'll get to it. He doesn't give us a set of rules. He gives us a relationship with himself. And he asks us to come and walk with him and enjoy the walk. So, number one, the church is the body of Christ. Amen? I bet you've never heard that before. We are the body of Christ. The church is people, not buildings. Amen? The Old Testament was built around a holy place or a temple. The New Testament is built around a holy people, a church, a called out group of people who come together. And again, remember when I say church, I'm talking about the visible local church. This happens to be one of them. The visible local church that shows up, that, you know, it's we sometimes want to say this, the invisible church out there, and there is a point to make for that. We are part of the body of Christ worldwide, but we are part of the church visible here. We walk together. We are a community. We are a body, part of the body together. The buildings are accessories, not necessities. They are servants, not masters. We thank God for this beautiful building that God has provided through us, through you and I, giving our tithes and offerings, through faithfulness, through sacrifice. We have a beautiful place to stay out of the weather, but this cannot define us. This is an accessory to the church so that we can stay out of the weather and we can come together and we can have meetings. And over this last year and a half, the church was an amazing place. You could come to the church where you couldn't go into homes and you couldn't be other places, but you could be together in the house of God. And so we thank God we had a place like that. And there was three churches still using this building to have a place to meet. So we're thankful for it. But it's not the limits of who we are. It's just an accessory. The building is not, the church is not a building, yet it has structure. We are not just a crowd gathered for no purpose, never referred to as just a body. We are referred to as the body of Christ. Amen? So Romans 12 verse 5 says, I'm going to be jumping, so just listen to me. It says, the body in Christ. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27, where I mentioned earlier, and in Ephesians 4, talks about the body of Christ. Understand? It's not just a body. You know, even when Paul talks about it, Paul does not end this. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. So it is with Christ. Paul does not end the statement by saying, so it is with the church, which would nicely compare the church and a human body. What it means is that the body, which is the church, is not just a church as a group of people, but it's really part of Christ himself. So, I hope you're still with me. What he's saying is, what makes us a church is not just that we're together, it's that we are actually part of Christ. In Christ, the body of Christ. So what does that mean? That means we only are a church as much as we relate to Jesus. You individually, connected to the head in Christ, is what determines and makes us a body and makes us a church together. Not just the fact that we meet in this room, but because you and I are connected to Christ. The value of each person is determined only in relationship to Christ. Christ has placed each member of the body in the body, and this is why the body cannot function properly without each member being healthy and valued. What it means is we are, by Christ, by our relationship with him, we are placed into his body. We become part of him. That gives us our value. That gives us our identity. That brings us together. But then that also determines how we function and what part in the body we have. That's why the church as an organization is completely different than any other. It's not even an organization. It's an organism. You know, you hear all the amazing terms. It means we are part of his body. A network of relationships rooted in the relationships of each member with Christ. That's why, in my English, that's why we can have a bunch of people that seem so random that we would probably never hang out together. You would not like me. And I wouldn't like you. But what happens is because we love Christ and we are put in his body, he brings us together. That's why you can have people of every generation and race and background and economic situations, rich and poor. You can have, and God brings us together as a family, as a body. I'm talking about the body. He brings us together as a body to function. And what it means is every part of that body is important. Every part of that body has value, not because, you know, we say you have value, because of who you are in Christ. And everybody brings that part, and every wisdom tooth has a place until it's smashed out and leaves this hole in your head that hurts for a long time. Every one of us, every one of you, every one of us together make up and are part of the body of Christ. And that's what gives us our value and gives us our purpose. Our unity is not even based on allegiance to a statement of faith or a common set of doctrines. Although part of our obedience to Christ is obedience to his word, and that's a sermon for another day, and it's unquestionable and final authority in our lives, our unity is based on our common relationship with Christ. That's why the church can bring us all together like no one else can. And we submit to one another and we commit to one another. So let's look at Acts chapter 2, verse 43 to 47. If you want to follow me, I'm going to spend a little more time there. Please keep in mind this amazing church that Jesus is building. His body, which is represented by us visibly together in this room, us together make up this amazing bride, this amazing body that functions, that is doing what Christ called us to do. When we pray for one another, when we encourage one another, when we bring gifts to one another, we bring meals to one another, when we bless one another, when we function as a body, it's just like this amazing, amazing bride that's pleasing and beautiful and honors God. That's the picture I want you to keep in your mind as we talk about the church. And it doesn't just become a function. It doesn't just become a teaching about the church, because we've heard lots about it. How important the church is and how precious the church is to people. So Acts, you've read it many, many times. It says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Let's turn to it. Acts chapter 2. You can never hear it too many times. Verse 40-something here, 43 to 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Everyone was filled with awe. Everybody go, awe. Oh. Everyone is filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were being done by the apostles, and the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and giving the goods to Leonard. They gave anyone who had need. Just checking if you're listening. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together and glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Hallelujah. Amen. That's the ideal. That's the amazing work of God in people's lives. Taking a bunch of renegades, a bunch of sinners, bringing them together as a body. They come and they fellowship, they join together, they break bread together, they pray together, they devote themselves to one another. Wow, that's the dream. That's what every pastor dreams for. That's what every community coming together, when Christ builds his church, what it looks like. And we taste it. We get to taste it and be part of it. So, first of all, they devote themselves. What does devoted mean? The smarter men than me, they talk about the Greek word. It means to be glued, stuck together. They had devotion. They were brought together. They devoted themselves. They grabbed on to one another. They devoted themselves. And it's themselves. I could spend the whole morning talking about that. Themselves, they devoted themselves. So first of all, what do we think? The church is a place of community. I don't think we've talked about that much. The church is a place of community. And if you don't have that community, you just have a preaching hall. You just have a group of people coming together. And it can be a good meeting, it can be an okay meeting, it can be a great meeting. But it's still just a meeting. But they were a community. The basis of their community was their faith in Christ. What brings us together is our faith in Christ. What makes us a community is that we are part of his body. We are connected to the head, and he brings us together. Other religions are based on beliefs about God. Only Christianity is based on a relationship with God. Yeah. Believers were together. We should want to be together. Fellowship is something we should long for. Churches where people is where people are to find community. They shared their things. They had a, not a commune, but they had a community. They were ready to sell. They were ready to help. You know, if you read in history, back in the Roman days, they were amazed that these believers, nobody was poor. No one was poor among them. Everyone was taken care of. And I could tell you testimony after testimony of God's provision right here in this church, how people have taken care of one another. And there hasn't been a need that has been brought that somehow God hasn't touched and helped and encouraged. And as leaders of this church, I can tell you, it's often, I don't want to say weekly, it's often, all the time, People are coming to us and say, do you know anyone who has need? And we're like, I do. No, there's need. And it's amazing how God puts together those who have provision with those who have need, and they encourage one another. And it's amazing how God provides. And it can be just work. If I think of the people in this room who provided work for other people in this room and how God used those connections, it's amazing how the community comes together to strengthen the community. And it's what the world is dying for and looking for. And I've already talked about it, just a food train. You build a church on food. Build a church on food. We love food. But just caring, just the fact that somebody cares less about someone else's life changes the atmosphere. The church is a place of not only community, the church is a place of commitment. I think you know where I'm going with this. It's a place of commitment. There, the Bible says they devoted themselves to what? To the apostles' teaching. It's a place of commitment to the Word of God. The Word judges us. We don't judge the Word. They were committed to the apostles' teaching. And when you read that, it also means they were committed to the apostles. They were committed to the leadership of the church. And so you say, oh, that's a good plug for leadership. Yes, it is. You cannot have the gospel without the governance of the gospel. They go together. You cannot have a functioning church without the structure of the church. We said it's not a building, but it has structure. It's a body. Christ is the head. There's members who have jobs to do and functions, and they function in what they're called to do and what God's given them to do, and the body is healthy, and the body goes ahead. And, you know, I don't want to go to Paul's teaching on it, but you can't say, well, I'm a hand, I don't need the foot, and all of those things. We need each other, and we need to function together. They were committed to not only the apostles' teaching and the apostles themselves, they were committed to the fellowship. Being a church is like being in a marriage. When we commit in this way, we receive a sense of significance and value. Amen? I was thinking about it this week. Because of marriage, what makes a marriage is that people are committed to each other. They don't just live in a house. There's too many of those going on. It's not just casual. These people are committed to one another, devoted to one another. And it's not only us individually devoted to Christ and devoted to the fellowship, devoted to Him and His body and what He's doing, but then this week what hit me is that we have to also then be committed to others. Other churches, other fellowships. And you know what destroys a denomination? What destroys the bigger church out there is that there's no relationship. There's no commitment to it. It's just a function. It's like a church that has a hired, you know, hireling, a leader who's just there because he's paid. It's like churches in the city. There's many, and there's good ones, and I'm not here to judge anybody, but there's absolutely no relationship with them, and maybe we will never have it. But where there is a relationship, where we find a fellowship, where we find connection, it's because we commit to each other, and we walk through the good and the bad and the ugly, and we are committed to each other, and we stay through those difficult times. It's the same in marriage. You know, it's the same in a family. Whatever metaphor you're trying to use, we are the family of God. We are the household of God. We are the bride of Christ. We are the body of Christ. And it takes commitment to one another. And they were committed to the fellowship. They were committed to the breaking of bread, both in common meals and the Lord's Supper. They enjoyed being together and celebrating what Christ had done for them. You know, the communion in the New Testament, when we read about it, was always associated with food, always associated with coming together in fellowship and breaking bread and eating together. And they took the communion, they remembered the Lord's Supper together in that atmosphere. And Paul got after them when they weren't doing that. And when we come together, they had fellowship and the breaking of bread. And they are committed to prayer. They devoted themselves to these four things. The church was a place of commitment, number one. Number two, the church was a place of power. You see, I'm tricking you because under each point, there's a few extra points. Only got 9 under this one. The church is a place of power. I said the church, first of all, is a place of community. It's a place of commitment, and it's a place of power. Awe and fear, phobos, fell upon them. They were characteristics of the first church. A church moving in the power of the Spirit and receiving the outpouring of His amazing love should never fail also to live in a true righteous fear of God. Not because the pastor is shouting at you, but because there's this amazing presence of God Himself with His people. And when God shows up and when God is with us and among us, there is this awe, there is this fear of God that's healthy, that's biblical, that we walk in something of an awesome reverence for God Himself. And when we come together as a church and when we are worshiping, there has to be this sense of God is here. Yeah, we are a family, yes, and we have lots of young kids, but this is still supposed to be a place of reverence. It's supposed to be a place where God speaks to people. It's supposed to be a place where we're paying attention, where we're listening. Okay, God, what are you saying to me? God, what are you doing? What do you want me to bring? What do you want me to receive? What is God saying to His church? And there's times when we just feel this overwhelming sense of His presence, and there's other times when it seems like we're just eating our lunch. You know, some meals are oatmeal, and some meals are like, Vors. It's like there's times when we're just sensing God in an amazing way, and the fear of God and the respect and the honor of God comes into the house. They had that. And we say, God, come and have your way with us. But you know, it's what you expect. It's what you come and open your heart up to. I think it was a couple of Sundays ago, Herman was speaking on worship and that whole thing of we get to worship. And there was just this, you know, when a congregation decides they want to push into worship, nobody can stop. I think even I could lead the songs that morning. And when the congregation and we come together and it's different, like you can't repeat one Sunday to the next. There's no special song we could sing and then it's going to just... But if we hold back and we're kind of, okay, let's see, okay. But if we have this sense of awe, we have this sense of God wants to move in people's lives, we will see His hand. He shows up. He moves in people's hearts. He touches lives. He encourages people, strengthens them. And so we have an amazing opportunity to be in God's house. To be a church. Amen? He has no respect and no awe for the house of God. So how do I end? What I want to say is, you know, if I gave this little guy a $100 bill, He has no respect, no value to that. He would eat it just like he's eating that plastic bag. Like $100 bill, plastic bag, same. Until somehow you understand the value of the church. You will mistreat the church. You will ignore the church. You will, what words can I use? You won't know what it's worth until you see its value, until you understand what coming together as a body of believers means. Yeah. When I see kids growing up in the house of God, and I see teens, and I see young people, and I see marriages happening, I see babies being born, I see that the community coming together. I see the commitment one to another. They devoted themselves to one another. It's a beautiful, it's the most precious thing in the world. And it is God's plan to save the world, His church. It is what Jesus is building. It's His church. And we are part of it. And so this morning as we close, I don't know how to, like I can't manufacture it. I can't. But I want you to know every member of this body sitting here today is amazingly valuable to God. The fact that He put you in this church, the fact that He put you in His body is enough. Amen? It's enough. You are a part of His body. It's for a purpose. You bring what you bring. You share what you have. You bring your gift. You bring your talents. You bring your strength. And God touches it and uses it and makes an amazing church. That's what makes a church. Otherwise, we're just a group of people. And so I'm going to end where we sort of started. If you need prayer this morning, you need someone to encourage you, strengthen you. Sometimes we think only really sad, broken people come to the front. But I know God is speaking to people about the call of God on their life. I know people are being stretched right now in their decisions of their futures and how God wants to use them and how He's going to work in their life. And as a body, we can lay hands on one another. We can pray for one another. We can have a word of encouragement. We can have a prophetic word. We can pray healing. That's what the body of Christ does. Encourages one another. And so Father, I pray this morning that You would renew a sense of awe, a sense of beauty of Your church. What it means to belong to You and to Your church. I pray that. I pray that we as a bride would prepare ourselves. As Bethany did on Saturday last week, we would this morning prepare ourselves for our groom. We would prepare our hearts, prepare our minds, prepare our bodies to be the temple of the Holy Spirit, to be Christ's body in the earth. So I pray, Father, that as we just worship together, You would strengthen Your church. You would make her beautiful. You would make her strong. You would make Your church what You intended it to be. You're building Your church not for the sake of leaders, but for Yourself. You're calling us to Yourself today. And Lord, we respond and we say, yes, Lord, we want more of You. We want more of Your presence. We want to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church today. Open our ears, open our hearts, open our minds to the Spirit of God. Help us to be Your church. I pray for words of encouragement. I pray for prayers of healing. I pray for salvation. I pray for Your name to be glorified in this house this morning. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus.